Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
The last day or so, you have heard a lot of people on the radio, on TV, talking about the rise of Tua Tagovailoa. That Tua, I would take Tua number one. Tua is a guy that's going to go at the top of the draft. Now the Boston Globe has put out a story that potentially the Patriots could try to trade all the way up to the top of the draft to go get Tua Tagovailoa. And I just wanted to say, you know what? If you listen to the show, you knew this was going to happen January 6th, the day of the Three Kings. Because for the past 3 months, we have told you this is what's going to happen with Tua. The more we get removed from the end of the college football season, and he's going to get a clean bill of health as he gets healthier and healthier, and he's going to rise in the draft. He's going to go in the top three because that's what happens with quarterbacks. And in case I'm lying, I always want to say we have proof of it. Look, I quote tweeted it earlier today, January 6th. The draft is 3 months away. In that time, Tua's hip will have healed enough. His tape will be poured over, and he'll end up being a top three pick because quarterbacks like him rise. I would take him number one overall. I said that beginning of February. I want to welcome everybody to those takes the last couple of days who are using them to fill content time. You're welcome. Look, all we can do is do the show and give you content so you have it way ahead of time. You had this 3 months ago. I can't control anything but what goes out over the air. It's like Hamilton. We have no control who lives, who dies, who tells your sports takes to anyone. So we told you about Tua Tagovailoa 3 months ago this was going to happen. But the next part of this is where things get really interesting, because he's going to go in the top three. And we already know that Cincinnati is going to take Joe Burrow. Look, they're locked into him. They're not going to change their mind at this late time, especially when you're not going to have a normal pre-draft lead up. You're not going to be able to talk to these guys as much as you want to and work them out and see them. You're going with on hearsay or stories you've heard about them, because it's not, you know, people can't travel. You know, teams can't go and talk to players like they want to. So it's going to be very difficult. So Cincinnati's locked in on Joe Burrow, and you know that the Redskins, they're locked in on Chase Young because they're completely Saquon Barkley-ing this pick by saying, we can't possibly take a franchise quarterback. You know, we have Dwayne Haskins, who we like, and what, Chase Young is the best defensive prospect in the last 30 years of the National Football League. Just like the Giants said 2 years ago when they said Saquon Barkley is the best running back prospect in the last 25 years. He's a once-in-a-generation type player. Well, he had a really good rookie year and a craptastic last year. And that's why they didn't take Sam Darnold. That's why they didn't take a quarterback. And that's what they're ruining right now, trying to make Daniel Jones happen. So the Redskins, clearly, they're rather sit there and have Dwayne Haskins battle it out with Kyle Allen instead of drafting Tua, who was, remember, tank for Tua. He was the pick. He was the pick going into the college football season. He did nothing to change that except he got hurt. But at number three, this is where the Lions are going to change the course of the NFL for the next 10 to 12 years, because either they're going to take Tua, and he's going to be their quarterback, and it's, can Tua turn the Lions into a respectable organization, and the Lions trade Matthew Stafford somewhere, Patriots, Chargers, where he can make an immediate difference. Because, look, at his worst, Matthew Stafford's a guy that's going to throw 30 touchdowns and 10 to 12 interceptions and throw for nearly 5,000 yards. That's just who Matthew Stafford is, right? And you get him out of Detroit, still 32 years old, young enough to still have another good 3 years, 4 years at least of his prime. I mean, Matthew Stafford can be a big difference maker for a team. And then you have Tua in Detroit. Or they wind up trading out of that pick because somebody is going to trade up to number three to get Tua. Maybe the Chargers, maybe the Patriots, maybe somebody else, maybe the Dolphins. But that's going to change the course of the NFL, because Tua is that franchise quarterback, and he's going to go somewhere, and it all depends on what the Lions do at three. Do they have enough guts to say, you know what, we've had Matthew Stafford for 10 years, it's just not working out, we'll get draft haul for him, and we get our new quarterback we're not paying a lot of money to, or, hey, we're going to get a treasure trove of guys if we move out of number three. But what they do at three is going to change the course of the NFL.
Yeah, I, keep looking at the Dolphins, just the way they've built this squad. You still got Ryan Fitzpatrick there to wing it around if Tua needs time to get his hip right, or just to get the language of the team down and get that all set squared away, because it's a mutant off season. You don't know if you're going to get to your regular reps and how condensed everything's going to be by time they go back to work. And you look at where the Dolphins sit with so many draft picks. That's where it makes sense to get him down to Miami. You've built the defense. You've got some weapons on offense that are building even after the fire sale you had a year ago. Still positioned pretty well to make some noise in the AFC East. I like your Detroit theory, because Matthew Stafford, after 11 years, you've kind of seen, at least we can say in theory, the best of what Matthew Stafford has to offer. And maybe it's just the getting away from the organization, finding a functional running back that you can trust so there's a little more balance. But you have a good tight end. You have two great wide receivers on the outside, and it still hasn't worked. So maybe they decide to make that shift, but that would also be presuming the Lions know what they want to do, which they're on the Pantheon. If we're doing the Mount Rushmore series, like everybody else, we could do the Mount Rushmore of teams that can't get out of their own way. And there would be a lion as one of the four heads there, no question. Not Gryffindor, not Gryffindor, but the Detroit Lions as one of those up on the board. But it would make all the sense in the world to say, okay, Matthew, we're going to give you the opportunity. As entrenched as he and his wife are in Detroit and all the good things they do, and during this whole mess that the country's dealing with, they've done a lot of good things in the city. They are part of the city. But there's also the potential of, all right, you get to call a new city home, have a second act to your career, and maybe go find gold, and we have our guy of the future that at least buys us 2 or 3 years of people leaving us alone with the rest of the picks because they're so enamored with him, right? I mean, sometimes it's just simple Vegas misdirection for some GMs and coaches to keep their jobs.
That's the next part. The number three pick is the hot button pick in the draft, because the first two, you know how that's going to go. I mean, really, that's going to change which way the NFL goes for the next 10 years, because you could see a new power. You could see an old power reemerge, you know, all because of who's going to wind up making that pick for Tua.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, it is Lights Out. Sean Merriman, former three-time NFL All-Pro, co-founder of Lights Out, XF MMA. You can check him out on Twitter. What's happening, Sean? How are you, buddy?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What up? You know, I want to say, you gave me that great idea of doing the whole 1 through 64 best player on each NFL team, and then the champion goes in a 1 through 32 to determine the best NFL player of all time. But and because you gave me that idea, I wanted to give you some time here, because I know you're going up against LaDainian Tomlinson in the big Chargers fan poll for the Chargers best player of all time. And, you know, this is a tough Final Four matchup here for you.
No, not really. You know, look, I knew I had no chance in hell against LT, but, you know, that didn't stop me from campaigning, right? I mean, I was willing to give out Lights Out gear. I've done everything I could, but just get me up to a 20% respectable number. If I can get to 20%, it's respectable. And I got to, I think, 18 or 19%. Obviously, in my opinion, top two or three running backs of all time. That just wasn't going to happen. That wasn't in the cards, but I sure as hell was campaigning for it.
I really did. I said, do you really have enough T-shirts to give out to everybody to vote for you? Because regardless to whether or not people think you're the best or LT, if you give them a T-shirt, they'll vote for you.
Well, you know, I told them I was going to pick 10 winners a day.
Okay.
So that was going to stop at some point. You know, I do sell clothes for profit. So, you know, as much as I would love for it to be a charity or donation. No, you know, it was cool because there was a ton of names on there, right? I mean, it was some names obviously left off. And it's funny because, you know, this day and age with, you know, social media, a lot of guys don't really remember, like, Leslie O'Donnell, right? I mean, Leslie O'Neill. And some of these big time players back then, but I did because I grew up idolizing these guys and watching them play. So, you know, it was funny to see some of the names left off there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, I'm going, how's Casey Hayward in the Final Four? Really? Casey Hayward's in the Final Four? Look at all, Lance Allworth, Hall of Fame, right? How's Casey Hayward's in the Final Four? But, hey, that's the fans' vote. It's what they think.
Yeah, it was a few thousand votes, so I thought it was cool. But, you know, it, most people looking at that list, I mean, Lorenzo Neal didn't make it, I think, past the Final Eight or something like that. And he's the best fullback of all time. So, you know, it was fun just to stay active with it. I'm just trying to provide some kind of entertainment right now in these times with so much time on our hands. So it was kind of cool to do for a minute.
Well, you know, one thing I know you're also looking forward to doing is that we saw the story today that Tom Brady tweets out that potentially he will let loose on the Patriots in an interview with Howard Stern next Wednesday. And you quote tweeted that and said, I'm calling in. All right, what are you calling in to say?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be one of the callers. That's going to happen. It's going down. I just want to go. I want to know the decision process and why he didn't come to the Chargers, or did I have anything to do with that?
Yeah, that you campaigned too hard against
him. One thing I do know, I do know that him and Giselle, I do know they look at my social media. So,
whoa, they do?
Oh, yeah, for sure, 100%.
Oh, wow.
And you scared him away from L.A.
Wow. Sean Merriman, responsible for changing the course of the National Football League.
That gets you the win over LT now, doesn't it?
I wish, man. Look, I was just trying to get up to over 20% to make my son proud. But, no, I mean, I want to hear it for myself. We heard all the stories and the talk about him coming down to L.A. or him going to the Bucks, to the Buccaneers. And, you know, I would love to call in and have that conversation. You kidding me?
Wow, I just can't believe you told that they wind up looking at your social media. How did you hear? Did you hear, like, hey, Tom didn't like what you said about him on social media? Like, how did that break down?
Yeah, well, you know, I know a lot of people. You know, I know people in high places, guys.
Okay.
So during this time, Sean, I mean, you're keeping active and trying to – I mean, we've seen the workouts for years, right, in some of the stuff you put on social media. What's it like not having access to some of those usual functions? I got to imagine that drives you a bit nuts.
Yeah, it does, for sure. And it's taken a little bit of adjustment period. But, you know, one thing that kind of keeps me calm is we all going through it. Right. I mean, we're all dealing with it and we all got to find a way to get by. But yeah, I do find empty time to go and to a friend's house or a, you know, garage they have, or open field. If I find a mountain or a hill that's not this unoccupied, that has been closed down, I'll go and run some sprints or just get something in. I think that's what this whole thing is about. It's not about staying in the best shape of your life. It's about getting something in just so you can get through it. There's a lot of things closed. There are a lot of lost jobs and people dealing with some heavy stuff right now. So the thing is to get through it and come out of this thing on top. And if that's to get a 45-minute workout at home in your living room and move some furniture around, or if that's going outside for, you know, 35 or 40-minute jog or whatever it is, get through it the best you can, because I do believe that, you know, the mental health part and staying in shape has a big part on the way we live our lives.
Sean Merriman with us here at Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Now, the other domino we're waiting to fall this offseason, obviously, as you said, we have to wait. Everything is in a holding pattern. But Cam Newton and his destination is still up in the air, likely because he can't go anywhere to get his foot looked at. You can get a clean bill of health from the Panthers, but they're cutting him. You know, if I'm going to sign Cam Newton, I want to make sure I get a look at his foot. Do you expect the Chargers to be big players for him once that can be cleared up and they can actually have a chance to get a look at him?
Well, I don't know as far as big player, and I don't know how high the Chargers on him right now. If the Chargers are saying they'd rather roll with Tyrod and still draft a younger player, then that's probably what they're going to do. But I do believe that Cam Newton can help an NFL football team right now. I do believe that a healthy Cam Newton automatically upgrades your football team. I don't care how you look at it. No, there's a lot of different variables you got to look at. Is Cam Newton going to want to come in and want a big contract? Does he want a two-year, something close to what Tom Brady had or Phillip Rivers had? I mean, he's coming off an injury, so that's a big question. Is he looking to be somewhere for long term? So there's a
you know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just about the Chargers or any NFL team. It's about what Cam Newton is looking for. And I'll tell you guys this. It's one thing, that one of the hardest things to do for a big athlete that's competed at the highest level and what Cam Newton is, has and what he's done in his past, to now go into the open market and it's not as hot as you think it is. It is a it's a gut puncher. It's a reality check. And then from my standpoint and the way I'm looking at Cam and seeing his post and getting a chance to talk to him in Miami, he's using all this as fuel, and I think he's going to come out and have a great season.
I like angry Cam. There's no question about it. The little videos that have been posted. And he and I have similar sense of style with the fedoras and stuff, Sean. So, I mean, I'm kindred spirit with the way he's laying it down. I just wonder if he doesn't have to wait till training camps, whenever that is, and maybe an injury that opens a door where we sit right now with all these guys coming out of the draft.
Well, you know, if I'm him, I want to wait after the draft anyway, right? Because if, you know, you have me there and you're going to go draft a guy, then you're basically telling me I'm only here for a year or so regardless. Mm-hmm. So if you feel that you're still a top-tier player and you deserve to be somewhere for 3-5-plus years, then at that point, you hold out and see what team has, what a team has and what they have to offer, and then you go in and you take a shorter-term deal to get the bigger one. But you know that if a team drafts a younger player and you come in, no matter how you play, you're out the door. And I've seen that case happen between Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. I've seen, you know, we watched Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. We've seen across the board. You don't want to be in that situation where a team has already made their decision no matter how you play. So a lot of it could also be on Cam's part.
You can find him on Twitter at Sean Merriman. That is at Sean Merriman, or on Cameo at Sean Merriman, co-founder of LightsOutXF.com, a LightsOut FX. Check him out on Twitter. Lights Out, as always, appreciated. Hey, great run with LT, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
I gave it the best I could, man. I gave it a shot.
Keep hustling, my man. See, we'll talk buddy. To you soon. Be safe.
You know, look, Sean Merriman, no shame in losing to LaDainian Tomlinson,
no.
Right? It's like, okay. That's like me as a Jet fan. If I got in the top 64 Jets of all time, which I should be because of the emotional investment I make, if I lose to Joe Namath, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm expecting to lose to Joe Namath.
Yeah, but what if you were able to pull the upset? Public sentiment had turned against Broadway Joe, and suddenly you're voted ahead. Think of all the 5,000-word missives posted on blogs all over New York and New Jersey, and then the New York talk radio gets hold of you. Who is this guy, Jason Smith?
All right, well, I'm
down Joe Namath.
Seeing where you're at right now, I kind of like that. I dig that about you, Mike Harmon.
Yeah, see, I like it. Chaos theory, baby.
Great stuff from Sean Merriman, and you know, hey, I think my idea, that's just going to, we'll have more details, refine my idea coming up. But speaking of Brady, Brady's doing the big interview next week, getting a lot of attention, going to go on Howard Stern's radio show. And
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Earlier today, Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean talked about what was next for the AFC East in a conference call after news, obviously, that Tom Brady has gone to Tampa Bay, and everybody wakes up after April Fool's Day and realizes, okay, this wasn't a joke. Tom Brady really is a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Bean went on to talk about his team, but said, you know what, listen, the Patriots are still the team to beat in our division.
New England's still going to be very good. I mean, you look at what Bill Belichick did 2008. You know, they got robbed of a playoff. They were 11-5 with Matt Castle at the helm. So I think it's funny and comical that people are writing them off and labeling, whether it's us or another team, as the team to beat in the East. The team to beat in the East is the Patriots. And until somebody beats them, they are the team to beat. And as long as Bill Belichick's there, you know, you're talking about probably the greatest head coach of all time that was paired with the greatest quarterback of all time. So until we beat them, you know, we've done nothing, and we got our work cut out for us.
In other words, I don't want to say anything that winds up on anybody's bulletin board, so I'm going to say it here, but I'm going to say something very different privately to the team. If we don't beat these blankety-blanks this year, when they're playing trotting out Jared Stidham at quarterback, you guys are all going to be fired. I'm going to cut you and replace you with Joe Ferguson and Joe Cribbs.
But that's a very public ass-kissing, if there ever was one. I mean, you might as well just be on one knee like you're kneeling before Zod.
No, while you're at it. Look,
the other part of it is Ric Flair in this WrestleMania week, right? Mm. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
And in your case, brother, I just don't think so. No, but would I like my GM to be a little bit more supportive of us, saying, hey, it's open for us. We just lost, you know, the best quarterback of the last 40 years just walked out the door. This is open for us. We got to start believing in ourselves. That's another message to send. But I get, look, it's early. We don't need to motivate the Patriots. But, you know, the reality for the Patriots, what kind of season are they going to have, right? You're coming off still a season where you were 12-4. Now, you were 8-0 because you had your it wasn't that you had the best defense of all time going for the first 8 weeks. You had the most opportunistic defense because they scored 2 touchdowns a week and not on offense. I mean, this was a really struggling offense all season long in New England. And then it went 4-4 their last 8 games. They were not a great team, but they started out 8-0 because they got turnovers and they got into the end zone. What I expect from this year, this is definitely going to be a circle the wagons rebuild kind of bridge year. They're going to go get their quarterback of the future in the draft. They're going to trot out Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, and they're going to have their quarterback of the future, right? Stidham will get the first shot. If he falters, it goes to Hoyer, the veteran, and then you have the young up-and-coming future, the perfect quarterback room, which is what you like to see. And they're going to struggle because there are going to be times when Tom Brady would make plays and make throws that Jared Stidham isn't going to make. And I don't mean because Stidham's arm is stronger. It's because Brady, being the quarterback he is, knows, okay, this is the play to make here. This is how we're going to get this first down. This is how we're going to get the ball down the field here in this big drive before halftime or this big drive at the end of the fourth quarter. You still said goodbye to a guy that knows more and has done more at the quarterback position than anybody in the history of the game. So there's going to be a drop-off. You don't have great weapons that you've surrounded Jared Stidham with to make the adjustment easier. It's not like you went out and made a big trade for Stephon Diggs, or you went out and got DeAndre Hopkins. No, you didn't do any of those things. Your playmakers are not that great. And this is going to be a case of the Patriots will be a team. They're not going to fall completely off the map because, you know, Belichick is really relishing this. Hey, you know what? We're going to go out there with nobody. I'm going to go out there with one hand tied behind my back and watch what I do keeping this Patriots team in contention, because that's his thing for this year. Blank you, Tom Brady. You go with all your ready-made weapons there in Tampa Bay. While I'm overseeing a rebuild to get us back to being a dynasty, I'm going to be in this game longer than you are, and I will get us back to winning championships. You go for your 1 or 2 fun years there in Tampa and watch me work with one hand tied behind my back. They'll be a 500-ish team this year, and they'll contend in the AFC East because nobody is that good. Whether you're believing in the Bills and their improvement, or the Jets and their improvement, or the Dolphins, depending on if they strike gold with Tua and he's good right away. Look, the teams are all going to be better, but no one's going to go crazy. But will they be one of those teams that will stay around 500 and compete and contend for the AFC East crown all the way to the end of the year? Sure. But to expect more than that with an aging roster and the turnover they have and the talent deficiencies, look, no one's going there in free agency now. And that's the thing that people have to realize, is that it's not like they were great getting free agents before, but they had Tom Brady. Who's going to go there now, knowing full well all the horror stories that Brady and other players have told, why Gronk retired, why Brady is out? I've had it with the Belichick way. I've had it with all of this. No free agents are going to go there now. No one's going to go there to play with an unknown where I may be miserable. So that's why this Patriots team, they're going to have to really build through the draft and get this team and hit it big for their quarterback, because right now they're about a 500-ish team, and their roster is not going to continually get better over the course of the next few months.
No, and that's it. It's a complete rebuild, except for the coaching staff, right? We watched Gostkowski go off, several players go down to Miami and talking about their new world order, and a lot of it keeps coming back to happiness. Like, it takes a special type of player. You got to give credit to guys that go into that grind and decide winning trumps their professional happiness for a while, because let's face it, you have a very short window for most guys in the NFL. That's not the route they're picking, if you can do it. But, you know, Stidham, a lot of folks swear by him. Not all Patriot honks along the way, so we'll see what happens with him and whether he can develop the timing and patience and all those relationship things that made Tom Brady that if he can get to a percentage of that, they'll have success. And as you say, in that division, nobody's running and hiding, because as much as I may like the raw potential and some of the greatness we see from Josh Allen at times, does just picking up a wide receiver, is that going to suddenly make him that much more competent and efficient a quarterback? No. No, it's not. So there's still going to be some errant throws and some problems that leave things open there. We know the Jets. And then for Miami, the curiosity of who's their trigger man. Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick for a couple of weeks before he starts turning the ball over? Or do they have a new sheriff in town who maybe is a little more competent on the long range? If that's the case, then, well, we start looking down south. But either way, it's going to be a cannibalized division. And a lot of fun, because you'll be sweating it out the entire way.
Yeah, look. Could I see all four teams being 500-ish? Sure,
yeah.
I could. You know, look, the Dolphins had a big time in free agency. You know, very unexpected, but all the players wanted to go play for Brian Flores. Some of them left the Patriots, so you're weakening your best team in your division, strengthening yourselves, and they hit it with their quarterback, and suddenly, hey, we're back, man. You know, and look, the Jets made a move. They made their offensive line better. You're hoping that Darnold, second year with Adam Gase, can take off. Look, the Bills were already pretty good last year. They were a playoff team. They added Stephon Diggs. I'd say the Bills walk in as the favorite in the AFC East right now over the New England Patriots, because they simply have a better team than they do right now. But it's not like any of those teams are going to run away. I could see all four teams being around and beating each other over the course of the season. It being
sure.
One of them, not being a great division, but being fun and being competitive throughout.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's I like it, man. I'm telling you, that's 500-ish, and they contend in the division for the season.